You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Katie Burkhart.
As branders, certainly as people functioning in the marketing space, let alone the academic space, the word soup, absolutely unbelievable. The amount of terms that we interject, you know, we're creating our new brand, so we need to come up with new words and new terms for them to stand out. And it just adds to, an already loaded conversation where we already know that most of the people in the room are nodding and smiling, because who wants to be the one to say that they don't know what the word you just used means, you know, because nobody does.
Here at the On Brand Podcast, we love to talk about brands that have meaning. So it is with special excitement that I welcome Katie Burkhart to the show. Katie is on a mission to move purpose from aspirational messaging to tangible business practice by making the purpose-driven model more accessible and actionable. She started by founding Matter 7, which has built purpose-driven brands for almost a decade. More recently, she has launched Matter Pulse, which helps organizations run and grow against the double bottom line. Her latest project, Matter Logic, outlines what it means to be purpose-driven and how to operationalize your purpose, solidifying moving purpose from brand to business strategy. Katie, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you so much for having me, Nick. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to chat, too. You know, it's interesting because, as we talked about in your bio there, brands with purpose. And you've been doing this work for a decade, and it's interesting because I feel like timing this out, that would put you ahead of the curve, because I feel like over this past year and a half, we've really amped up talking about purpose. And it's been a mad dash for many, thinking, oh, geez, this isn't typically something we focused on. So you seem, maybe from my perspective, well situated for a conversation that is very much of the moment. Would you agree?
Yes. And I think the interesting thing is, for those of us that have been dealing with, you know, whether you use the word mission-driven impact organizations or the truly purpose-driven organizations, it's actually not a new idea. In fact, a lot of the best practices and strategies for doing this are already out there. The piece that I think has been missing is really that kick in the pants that I think the pandemic really gave everybody, to be like, oh, they're not kidding. The purpose economy really is here. And I need to be rethinking how I run my business so that I can retain the best talent, so that I can compete in the market, and so that I can really be effective as a business. You know, so something that I think was a slow roll is now I need to show up, and I need to figure out how to do that. I need to figure out how to do it quickly.
So you mentioned purpose, mission, and I also have a foot in the world of academia, and we love a good semantic debate on definitions. So when you're advising brands, how do we get our arms around all of these labels, what they mean, and most importantly, what the heck we're supposed to do with them?
Well, the first thing I would say is please go visit the website that I've built, which is matterlogic.co, where we are actually outlining all of those things, because I think that as branders, certainly as people functioning in the marketing space, let alone the academic space, the word soup is absolutely unbelievable. The amount of terms that we interject, you know, we're creating our new brand, so we need to come up with new words and new terms for them to stand out. And it just adds to, you know, an already loaded conversation where we already know that most of the people in the room are nodding and smiling, because who wants to be the one to say that they don't know what the word you just used means, you know, because nobody does. So we've worked hard at my firm and in all the work that I've been doing to be like, do we absolutely need that word? You know, is there a simpler word that we could use? If we're going to use the term, we need to define it. So to your initial question, the way that we look at a purpose-driven model, we would say that you need the core strategy, which is five parts: purpose, vision, mission, values, and story, sometimes called strategic narrative. And for it to be a effective strategy, both for your brand and for your business, because if you're doing it right, it's both, all five have a different function and actually work together to really run that strategy all the way. They're not, you know, mission, vision, and purpose are not different words for the same thing. They all have a different function. And for purpose, what you're really stating is, why are you here? Why are you doing what you're doing? And why does it matter? And the way that we try to get people to think about that is, how are you providing lasting value? And lasting value comes in lots of different shapes and sizes, but that's what you're really getting at, because you're going to chase that North Star for hopefully 100 years as far as why you're existing as a business. It's the vision that then shows you what change will result from our having been here. Or another way to think about it is, what's our legacy as an organization? And then your mission is the action words. This is how you're actually going to go about doing it and really make it happen. It's the values that then come in as a filter for your behavior and actions as an organization. And then the strategic narrative in our mind is what brings it all together into what actually gets shared everywhere. And that's really how you talk about yourself, how you share that story, because as you well know, story is the best way to really not only express yourself, but to engage others in what it is that you're doing.
Well, I think this work is so important, and I'm glad that you're doing it over there at matterlogic.co. And in thinking about that, you mentioned no one wants to be the one that doesn't know the word. Even if we don't have the same definition, we're afraid to stop. The joke I'm fond of making is that for being in the marketing and communication business, we are sometimes horrible at how it applies to our own industry and how we help others. So I'm glad you walked us through those definitions. You touched on this a bit at the end with the story aspect and needing everything else. How do those other pieces interplay with one another? Is it foundational? Do you have to, is it purpose first, then mission, then vision? What's the shape? I guess I'm a visual person, and I feel like as I hear about this, I want to know how to put them together.
It's a great question. So the way that we like to look at it is, we usually start with the purpose. We don't know why we're here and why it matters. Who cares? I mean, bluntly, like, who cares? Once we have that down, then we can start to move into the other pieces. We typically work with organizations to define them as a unit, because they go together and should work together, versus trying to take them one little piece at a time, which is very hard. And I think the important part about this work that I think gets lost and shouldn't is, it's not done in a vacuum. It's not like we take the founder and we lock ourselves in a room and pixie dust comes out and poof, we have these wonderful elements. We spend a lot of time going out and talking to team first. You know, if you have a company with team members, some of these things exist already, even if you haven't put them into words. And we need to understand where they're coming from, what they're excited about, because these are going to be probably the most important stewards of anything that you put out there, the people on your team, whether they're freelancers, employees, partners, whatever. The team first. The other group that we need to make sure that we're really centering is whoever you're going to have impact on, whether that's your customer or the community that you're serving. If you're a nonprofit, we need to make sure that that voice is very much centered, because a really excellent purpose is human-centered and very much you know, customer-centered if you're a business, or community-centered if you're helping. Some of these sort of absolute pie in the sky, you know, we're going to solve everything, or we're going to make the world better, period, are so broad that they are actually meaningless because they're not specific. It's really being purpose-driven is as much about focus as it is about anything else. So we start with that purpose first, and then we're okay to work vision, mission, values second together. And then we usually build the story last once we feel like we have the other pieces together.
Well, and in listening to you talk through that and walking through the people, it almost sounds like it's another one of those, another common theme that comes up in here is obviously the importance of people, but then the importance of that inside out dynamic of finding, centering the story internally, and then extending that outward as well. You mentioned the founder and sitting with the founder, and it reminds me of all the different ways that this can happen, because you can have a person, a founder that you need to track down. You might be the founder. The story or your purpose, what you mean to others, might be sitting with some of those other people. How can you, go finding these purpose-driven pieces could sound deceptively simple. What kind of process do you lay out to put this together, to go find some of these different pieces?
So the way that we like to look at it first is, again, going back to that semantic debate over what words mean, but we're very careful to never use the word invent, find, or discover. We like to use the words define, refine, sometimes develop, because it is our assertion that it is a rarity that you have a business or an organization, nonprofit organization, that was founded without a purpose. Even if they weren't thinking about it at the time, most people don't go launch a business just to launch one. They're going out to do something. And we want to make sure, especially if you're an existing entity that has team members and stakeholders and customers, whether you've done it the way that you would like or not, there is already perception around what you do, the value you provide, and the story that you're telling, that we need to make sure that we mine and understand. And one of the things that we like to do right away is say, go for the points of greatest intersectionality. So where are you seeing your customers, your team members, your community, your partners all saying the same things? Where are we seeing that overlap and that existing alignment that we can double down on? Because clearly we've already done something good. And how do we then build upon that versus, coming in as outsiders to an organization and kind of plastering on afterwards, like, of course you're in business to do this. And it's like, that's a very quick route to a hyper inauthentic purpose that no one can live up to. And in today's, day and age, to your earlier comments about purpose being kind of frontline now, we always advise groups that if you're not willing to do this, and more importantly, to set the strategy and then to actually change how you run your business to match it, you would be better off not to set it in the first place. Because once you put out there that this is what you're going to do, people are, in the digital age, 10 times more willing to hold you accountable for it. And that can be very costly if you're not taking it seriously.
Hey, On Brand listeners. We talk about a lot of brand building topics here on the show, from developing strong brands to brand stories to building engaged superfans for your brand, both internally and externally. If these are topics that you're working through or struggling with, I'd love to help. I regularly schedule one-time or ongoing brand coaching sessions with clients based on their unique needs. Are you building a new brand? I'd love to help. Struggling with rebranding? I'd love to help. Do you want to create an engaged community around your brand? I'd love to... You get the idea. I've worked with clients of all shapes and sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to small businesses and startups. I've also interviewed hundreds of experts right here on the On Brand podcast and written 2 books. I can apply all of this to the challenges that you're struggling with. To learn more about working personally with me, Nick Westergaard, go to nickwestergaard.com, that's Westergaard with 2 A's, or email me at nick@branddrivendigital.com. Now back to the show. So you've reminded me of something interesting in this conversation about kind of the timeline and that purpose is very front and center now. And I feel like the businesses that, and I think it's also been better communicated by our colleagues on the entrepreneurial startup side of things, which I think helps us get a better baton handoff than maybe businesses with an earlier founding where this wasn't as well formed, this purpose. And I love those alternate verbs, you know, where this interview is a word nerd's dream. So I hope that they're enjoying it, those that are listening. But the importance of defining and also developing, I think that sounds a little more highbrow than when I say sometimes with an older business with a purpose that's not as clear. It's almost like our work as brand builders becomes a little bit like mining. I feel like you're there kind of chipping away at the rock, finding something that's under the surface that you can bring up to the surface for people to see. What other challenges beyond finding the story do you see in the brand builders that you work with?
So when I'm out and I'm still working frontline with clients, which has been pretty exciting and something I hope to maintain over my career, because there are just some things you don't learn if you're not doing. And in fact, had an epiphany the other day for something else I was working on because I was working with a client and went, oh, this is what they mean. And here's a better way to solve it, more importantly. But what I see as far as challenges is not so much in getting this together. That is not to say that coming up with your core strategy isn't hard. And if you talk to, you know, I've worked with nonprofits my whole career. Any nonprofit who has been doing, you know, mission development, strategic planning forever, okay, this is not a new concept to them in certain ways. It's hard work, you know, to make sure that you've got someone that everybody can stand behind and be proud of, which is important, or it's definitely not going to get implemented. But once you have that piece, the biggest challenge that I see is actually implementing it. How do we now run our business according to this strategy, which is why we call it a core strategy. It's not something that you put in a box and stick on a wall and say, isn't it nice that we have this? This is now how you're supposed to run your business. And it's actually why I founded Matter Pulse, because we found at Matter 7 where we could build these strategies and then build out other aspects of their branding, like their logo and their website and, you know, other key elements you need in building a brand. I love that you call yourself a brand builder. I've always felt that's the best way to talk about it. But what we found was that we'd leave, and within 6 months or a year or 2 years, you know, the gap between the messaging and the action would just grow. And it doesn't mean it's because they were out trying to do something nefarious. In some cases, they were nonprofits taking on too many quote unquote good things that maybe weren't the right thing for them to be doing. Like, this isn't your core competency. This isn't your purpose. This isn't where your focus should be. Now you're pulling energy and effort and resources away from the things that you should be doing. And I think companies often do the same thing, different reasons, but we've found that the same issue exists, that it rolls out. There's a lot of enthusiasm. We start to grow, And all of a sudden, it just slowly starts to take a backseat. So we're really working to say, especially to branders, you know, you get this. You understand what alignment means. You understand what it means to be on brand. Take it just a half step further and say on purpose, and start to really position yourself as the steward that's going to make sure the whole organization is aligned. And I think the biggest way to do that, and sort of the first recommendation I make to people who are like, ooh, I would love to get into work, you know, for whatever reason, I'm looking to work with brands with a little bit more meaning or a little bit more impact, I say, please get out of the marketing department. Like, if you're only working with the marketing department, you will not succeed. You know, you need to take two steps away and start to talk with what's going on in product, what's going on with the customer success team, what's going on in finance, which is one of the core competencies we're trying to develop at MatterPulse, which is how do you know where the money is coming and going from and how that interrelates to your impact? Or have you put out this wonderful purpose, but you're still making 90% of your revenue from something that has nothing to do with it? You haven't really achieved purpose-driven status if that's the case.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when you were talking about getting beyond what's up on the walls, it, you know, I usually make the joke of, oh, what, but we need those posters for the office that say what we're about. And then I realized everything's so virtual these days and could be in the future as well. Maybe I'll have to retire that joke. But you also made me think of a project we worked on together recently for one of your clients, Kids Chance. And on the nonprofit side of things, I spoke about building a trust brand now. And one of the questions I got afterwards was related to what you were just saying of, you know, how is this different? How does this apply to nonprofits? And my stock answer, but I ironically wanted to flip it back around on you, because my stock answer is, I think a lot of times, a lot of the industries that ask, oh, all this stuff is great, but I'm in B2B, I'm in education, I'm a nonprofit. And these things that we think of as baggage that our industries, our sectors bring, I think that on the nonprofit side of things, in some cases, we're actually closer to a lot of these purpose-driven aspects that you're talking about mission, vision. Do you agree, disagree, partially agree?
It's an interesting conversation because it depends on how semantic you want to get. But on the first level,
well, you know how this has been going. I'd say very is.
I would say top level, yes. And one of the things that I've enjoyed sort of through my career is that I started Matter 7 to serve nonprofits exclusively. And for a period of time, we only worked with nonprofit organizations. And it gave us some real insight into, you know, why nonprofits are different than for-profits. And there are some distinct differences predominantly in how they're governed. But what we learned was that they do certain things very well. One of them being developing relationships, engaging community, storytelling, because that's really what they're bringing to the table. In a lot of cases, in the cases of a Kids Chance, for example, they're able to really engage their industry partners around this mission. And they now have 15 pretty major corporations who are incredibly excited to be there and are extending that enthusiasm out to their employees, who then have how many people volunteering at state chapters to be part of what we call the Kids Chance community. And they've always done that very well, versus when we shifted to working with some for-profit businesses, we're like, why do you have to do all of this stuff by yourself? Why can't you go out and engage the community that already exists? Have you looked at the ecosystem? Who can you align with? How can you start to bring people to the table and grow the table, versus feeling like you have to be the one and only star in the night sky? So it's been interesting to see that. One of the sort of semantic things that has been interesting to me is that whole conversation around purpose, vision, mission, values, and story. What's the difference? Is there a difference? And one of the things people don't realize is the vast majority of nonprofits don't have a purpose. They have a mission statement. And a lot of nonprofits will try to compress purpose, vision, and mission into one statement, which can get kind of mucky and definitely more difficult in some cases to communicate. And one of the things that we work with organizations a lot is to try to decompress that a little bit so that they can, with more clarity, tell their story, be able to differentiate that story a little bit depending on who in the community they're talking to and what's important to them, but most importantly, start to drive them towards, you know, what outcomes. Nonprofits talk about outcomes, again, much longer than businesses who have just woken up to the idea, I think, of outcomes on some levels, that they're actually shooting for, and how do we make sure that we're moving in that direction whenever possible, because then you start getting into conversations around measurement and how do we prove that we're doing the things that we say we do. Again, nonprofits, I think, have a longer history of that because if they can't prove that they're making impact, in most cases, they don't get funding. How they prove it can be a gray, interesting conversation that we probably don't have time for today because impact measurement's a fascinating discussion. But they've been on that versus we're sort of celebrating corporations who are putting out impact reports as sort of a new idea. Nonprofits have been doing it forever. And we've sort of looked to our for-profit clients and said, hey, here are some really good best practices you can take from. Here are some things we'd like to see you improve upon if you're going to enter into this space and let people know what you're doing. And the big one there, I think, for us is being able to explain to people, just like you have a why for being in business, you should have be able to tie back to, you know, why are we doing this? Why are we measuring these things? Why are we doing it this way? So that people understand what's happening, which is, I think, what most people are looking for. Once you get past that initial feel-good feeling, then it's, okay, well, what's really happening? What change is really being made? And most importantly, how am I contributing?
Well, I love how semantic that answer got. That's something I think we've delivered on wholeheartedly here during this interview, but also it was a really delivered on the promise of a much better, much more detailed answer than I gave. So nonprofits out there, Katie is the one to seek to flesh that out, to move not necessarily beyond, but making sure that your mission statement extends to purpose and the other aspects as well. Katie, as we start to wrap up and talk about brands with purpose, there's all sorts of different emotions that conjures up. As such, I am especially curious for a brand that has made you smile recently.
It's a great question, and it will be a surprising answer because it's probably not what people will think, but there is a restaurant a block away from me called American Joe's Bar and Grill. And I have to tell you, from a branding perspective, I had taken really very little note of them, for the exception of the fact that I really like their clam chowder in a bread bowl. I think personally it is absolutely delicious. But during the pandemic, or at least over the last couple of months, they had opened back up, and I was like, okay, I want to go. I'm going to order some food for takeout. And every time they've sent it in the bag, they have included a really nice note with my name on it and the name of the person who left the note. You know, have a wonderful dinner, heart, whoever it was. And it was very obvious that it was not prefabbed. It was someone had taken a Sharpie and written a note. And it really made me smile. It was like a great way to ask the question because it got down to that, you know, I have no idea the rest of their branding. But when you think about really becoming a purpose-driven brand, really making impact, it comes down to the things that you do. And more importantly, in some cases, the way that you do them, you know, being able to leave a personal note in somebody's bag, like that built up a lot of trust and loyalty to me as a person, because it got to what they really promise as a brand, at least for me, which is comfort food in a comfortable setting. They now extended that because they can't welcome me in their doors. That to me is really smart branding that's cascading that purpose all the way down to the frontline person who's actually talking to the customer.
Love that example. And as much as I am a word nerd, I'm also a font nerd. But I will also say that a nice handwritten note, as your story proves, will trump the best, cleanest, nicest, most well-designed font. So I think back to kind of full circle where we started of of the number of things that make up what your brand is. And we sometimes get so fixated on some of those little pieces. Like you said, you don't really know much about the rest of their branding, but to you now, their brand is that note and what it means to you. And I can't think of, I would say that is a purpose-driven smile because of what that means to you and the impact that they wanted to have.
I think so. And I'm hoping that without tracing it all the way back, I cannot tell you for sure. But if somebody sitting high up said that was the result we were hoping for, they succeeded, which is a good thing. And I think it's really getting to that, and how do you start extending that as you go forward, which I think is where we're going to start to see, instead of saying, we're Joe's and we're launching this great campaign to talk to you, which you're going to start to see more of, build the core strategy, do it, then share it, where we're going to start to see a greater shift into great things happened already. And now we're going to tell you the story of the things that we already did versus the things that we are going to do and in some cases never, ever get around to, which is incredibly depressing.
Yeah. Well, as we said, impact tracking is hard. That will be fodder for another episode. Katie, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
So the first place that they can go to find all of the different points to connect with me is my website, which is www.katieburkhart.me. And that's the best place to start, because everything I do, from Matter 7 to Matter Pulse to Matter Logic to my blog, is all there, and you can explore and touch on whatever is most interesting to you. The other two ways to get in touch with me is through my newsletter, which is at the same website, /newsletter, or through my LinkedIn profile. I actually connect with pretty well everyone who connects with me, and I'm always happy to schedule a coffee call to talk about branding or purpose or anything else that I could be helpful with.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Katie, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was an absolute delight.
And if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.